Amen, 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 amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. My name is Miles. Welcome to church this morning. Why don't you say hello to someone next to you? Ask them why they're so beautiful today. Why are you so beautiful today? Good morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plans. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Old Testament. Go on your treasure hunt to find it. 1 Samuel 17. Lord, I pray you help us find 1 Samuel 17. Pray you bless our message today and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. You can pray with your eyes open as long as you try to find the book. Try to find the book at the same time while I'm praying. Everybody doing good this morning? If you are not doing good, we are so glad you are here. This is the place you want to be when you're not doing good. You want to be in church. God loves you, has a plan for your life. Amen. I got a call from a pastor yesterday of a small church here in San Diego. Left a message on my phone. He was crying, talking about he wanted to quit. It was too hard for him, and he felt all alone. He said, it's too hard, and I feel all alone. So I called him up, asked him what was going on. He told me what was going on. He said, it's too hard, and I feel all alone. I said, well, it is hard. I said, you're not alone. God is always with you, but sometimes he will leave you by yourself so you will trust in him more. So you just know that he's always there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But as far as the hard part, it's hard. Life can be very hard because you and I have a very formidable enemy, the devil. And if you try to fight the devil by yourself, you will suffer and lose. I spent all day Friday in a prison in Fresno speaking seven times to seven different groups of people. The first two groups were groups of about 80 to 100 women each, and then five times in five pods with about 30, 40 guys each. Life can be very, very difficult. So you have to decide every day you wake up that you are going to fight and you are going to battle and you are going to be confrontational with the enemy. Now, battle, fight, confrontation, not physical, on spiritual. Our sermon today is called Giant Killer. You have to decide that you are going to be a giant killer. This story in the Bible is probably one of the most well-known stories of the Bible in all the world, because even people who don't read the Bible know the story of David and Goliath. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I know I say that every week, but it's true. Every week I have a favorite story. But this is really one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You'll know why in a few minutes. I just love this story. Now, whenever you read a story in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you have to understand that the people in the stories represent God or the devil. Moses and Pharaoh. Moses represented God. And Pharaoh was holding God's people in slavery. Okay? David and Goliath. David represents God. Goliath represents the devil or God's enemy or the enemies of God's people. So there's always a battle between good and evil, if you will, light and darkness, God's people and people who are not God's people fighting. And these battles always teach us something about our spiritual battle. So whenever you read these stories, these arguments, these confrontations in the Old Testament, you always got to think, what am I going to learn spiritually about me and God against the devil and the devil's people? What spiritual principles can I apply to my life? This story is so amazing because we have six great spiritual principles. Now let me give you a little background. The Philistines are fighting the Jews. And the Philistines and the Jews are on two separate mountains, hills. And in the middle is a valley. And so they're facing each other, and for them to fight, they have to come down to the valley. And every day for 40 days, Goliath, a champion of the Philistines, a giant, over 9 feet tall, comes down, and he talks trash for 40 days in a row. He basically says, if someone from your army can whoop me, then our whole army will bow down to you. We don't have to get everybody killed. Let's just do one-on-one. And it'd be like us fighting Iran or Iraq, and they say, okay, you send over your baddest warrior. We'll send all our baddest ultimate fighter. And then whoever wins, that's who wins the war. So we don't have to waste all this money in battles and fighting. It's just one-on-one. We just lose one guy. So Goliath comes down for 40 days. How do I know 40 days? Look at chapter 17, verse 16, just to give you a little background. It says in verse 16, the Philistine drew near and presented himself how many days? 40 days. So we know 40 days. 40 is the number of testing in the Bible. I've told you that many times. Moses, Elijah, Jesus all fasted 40 days. The spies spied out the land when they went into the promised land 40 days. We're going to see that in a few months. We go through the book of Numbers. The Jews walked 40 years, et cetera, et cetera. Rained 40 days and 40 nights when Noah's ark was built. So it's 40 all throughout the Bible. A woman's pregnant 40 weeks. 40 is the number of testing. So when you finish 40, the test is over. Something's got to happen. Well, Goliath didn't understand the word of God. He didn't understand it on day 40. He was going to get his behind whooped. So he's out here for talking 40 days, 40 days, 40 days. And then David is going to come to the battle. Now, David was the youngest of eight boys. His three oldest brothers are in the war. This is all, we're not going to read this, but it's all in the beginning of the chapter. His three oldest brothers are in the war. And his father says, I want you to go out and bring them some food. Bring them some cheese and some crackers, some Snickers and Twix, and see how the war is going. So we're picking up the story at that point. David's going to leave his sheep behind. He's going to say, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And he's going to go out. Go ahead, laugh. That was good. That was good. I like that. You know you're going to use it when you go home today. Okay. Verse 22. Verse 22 says, David left his supplies in the hand of his supply keeper, ran to the army, and came to greet his brothers. And as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. He talked trash as usual, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel saw him. Everyone say, saw. When they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Say, seen. Say, saw. Say, seen. Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be the man who kills him. The king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and his father's house exemption in Israel. Everyone say saw. Say seen. In your notes, point number one, giant killers need to walk by faith, not by sight. Giant killers walk by faith, not by sight. If you are going to be a giant killer, what that means is that you are going to confront the giant, big, formidable problem in your life and address it. Every single one of us will or do have today some big confrontation or problem or situation in our life that is a struggle. That is your Goliath. And if you are going to destroy your Goliath, number one is you have to walk by faith, not by sight. Jews are on this hill, Philistines on this hill, the giant comes down 40 days in a row, talking trash, and the Bible says when they saw him, they ran. When they heard his voice, they ran. When they felt the ground shake, when they smelt the funk coming from under his arms, they ran. Why? Because faith goes beyond the use of our senses. Our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mind gathers information, processes that information, and too often we let our brain and our mind, our emotions decide on what we should do. That's the mistake. Faith gathers all, allows you to gather that information, and faith says, stop before you act. Let me now tell you my perspective. See, your brain is old, and your brain and your heart are programmed to make sense of things. All behavior is purposeful. Everything we do has a purpose, and it's based on what we think is right. From our perspective, from our background, from our education, from our upbringing, whatever it is. Matter of fact, one proof that your brain is always trying to make sense of something, you ever wonder why your eyes, you probably never wondered this, but let's think about it now. Why do your eyes always focus without you telling them to focus? Because your brain is saying it's fuzzy, so make it look clear. Your brain is always trying to make sense. When someone does something to you bad, the first thing you do is why? And then the first thing you do is justify yourself. You never say, I must have done something wrong. Let me go repent. You say, what's up with them? Because unless you're very healthy emotionally, you can say, what have I done wrong? And really honestly think about it. But you don't want to accept the fact that you could be wrong. So you automatically say, it must be them. And then you talk about them all day long to justify yourself. Because it makes you feel better and protects your heart. We're always trying to make sense of things. The problem is that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We are blinded to the truth. So faith says you can take all that information in, but don't trust that as fact. It may be your reality, but it may not be truth. There's a difference. Reality is that this is a podium. This reality is a podium, and I may think it's the best podium. It is a podium, but it may not be the best podium because I have to know all podiums in the world. It's only from my perspective. God says the giant killers or the just, righteous, walk not by what they know and what they experience only, but by faith. Because faith says, even though that's what you see, there's something you don't know. Let me show you that. And then when you see that, you decide. Now, what God does, he won't even show you that. God's going to just tell you, I know something different. Trust me. Don't do that. You're like, well, God, everything in my mind tells me to do that. God says, I know, but your mind is the problem. You need to trust what's in my mind. And I'm not going to tell you what's in my mind because I don't want to have to justify myself to you every day. God does not have to justify himself to us. We have to just trust him because he's always faithful. So here's this giant coming down. And here are these Jews. And they're saying, this dude is too big. Now, when I first started ministry, I was started ministry by ministering to these kids in my neighborhood in Rancho Penasquitos. They were Filipino kids. And I came from New York. I never met a Filipino in my life, never even seen a Filipino in real life in person. So I did not know what nationality these kids were. So they're in front of my house, and they, you know, had their hair all moosed up, and they're, you know, got their little outfits on and nice little cars. And I, every day, what nationality are these kids? And they were throwing beer bottles on my lawn. So I was like, you know, I'm going out here, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to tell them stop throwing beer bottles on my lawn, and I'm going to find out what they are. So I literally went out and said, yo, what are y'all? What nationality are y'all? Oh, we Filipino, man. We Filipino. I said, yeah, but can y'all Filipinos not throw that stuff on my lawn? And then I started witnessing to them. They got saved. Some of them still go to this church to this day. Now they're in their 30s. This is 16, 18 years ago. So I started ministering to them in Rancho Penasquitos and Mira Mesa. So I was all up in all that business. I mean, all these kids. I was going to their parties. I was going to schools and on a weekly basis. So I heard there was going to be this little gang fight at the Ice House in Mira Mesa. Little Penasquitos gang as little Mira Mesa. And I knew these kids. They were, you know, little tiny kids. Hey, it was no big deal, no harm. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to go, you know, and stop the gang fight and be a hero, right? So I get up there, and there's a little Filipino kid at the door. He's selling tickets. I was like, hey, man, you don't mind if I'm out of the field. I'm trying to help some kids out. And, oh, yeah, why don't you stand at the door and take a ticket? I was like, cool. You know, why you let me take the door? Take your child. He said, oh, man, it's going to be a big fight tonight. I was like, yeah, I know that. That's why I'm here. He goes, oh, yeah, you heard about it. Dude's from L.A. I was like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, it's Samoan dudes from L.A., and it's Samoan gang in San Diego. Now, there's a big difference between Filipinos and Samoan. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't trying to be racist on nobody. I'm just making an observation. I remember the first time I seen a Samoan dude. He looked like me, except he was just heavy, but he was light-skinned. And I remember seeing him. I was like, man, that dude is, his name was Junior Filler Young. I'll never forget. It was 1982. I was coming here to California the first time, and we were both going to the Rams. We both got drafted. And he was my complexion. He was about 100 pounds heavier than me. And I was like, man, that brother looks like me. Is he Puerto Rican? Is he mixed? And I was like, yo, what are you? I'm Samoan. He was just like, cool, slow. I was like, you Samoan, you look like just Samoan Negro. That's what you look like to me. Where's Samoan? I mean, so we all know there's a big difference. And the brother, he was so cool. He was so laid back. And anyway, when I went to this party, there was a guy at the Ice House. He was 6'7" tall. He wasn't Filipino. I don't know if I need to clarify that. The dude had a hickey on his neck the size of a basketball. Had a cigarette in his mouth, looked like a piece of lint. He was so big. And I was like, oh, God, please save me. That's what they saw in Goliath. We went on a vacation last year in New York, where I'm from. We were staying in a hotel, and there was a WNBA team staying in our hotel. We're walking out the hotel. and the team walks in, pretty much the whole team, like 12 women. Now, I'm just under 6 feet. I'm 5'11 and 7/8. I am. I'm not 5'11. I mean, you know, I'm not going to round up. I'm going to tell you what I am. I got measured so many times in sports, and I never made 6 foot. It was like, am I 6 foot? No, 5'11, 7'8. 5'11, 7'8. All right, I'll be 5'11, 7'8. So anyway, I'm 5'11, 7'8. Well, I'm walking out, and these women walk in, and the woman that was in the front of the pack, she did this to get into the hotel. She wasn't dancing. She was getting in the doorway. She was 7 foot tall. Then it was 6'5", 6'4", 6'6", 6 foot, all the other women. Now, you know, sometimes you don't want to look. Forget that. Dang, girl. What's up? Boom. Whoa. Whoa. Have you ever seen a 7 foot woman? You ever seen a 7 foot guy? Goliath was 9 feet. We can't fight him. David comes on the scene. Number two in your notes. Giant killers know when to grow up. If this is my favorite story, these are my favorite verses while I'm getting ready to read to you in the whole Bible. You're right. You'll say that next week. David starts going around telling everybody, I can whoop him. I can whoop him. I can whoop him. Now, David's the youngest of 8 boys. His 3 oldest are in the war. And they go, David, go home with your little sheep. No. I can whoop him. So the king, Saul, hears about David because no one else is going to fight Goliath. Verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he went and he sent for Saul, David. King Saul said to David, come to my tent. Verse 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, for your servant will go fight this Philistine. Saul said to David, you're not able to fight against the Philistine, for you are only a little kid, and he's been a man of war since he was a little kid. Wait. I haven't gotten to my favorite part yet, but how is he a man while he's a boy? How is it that he's a man at the same time he's a boy? Because when he was young, he had responsibility. When he was young, he was fighting and doing a man's job. So all his life, that's all he's known. So David, you're only a little boy. You've been taking care of sheep all your life. How are you going to fight him? Oh, people always want to tell you what you can't do. When I went to the prison, I can't tell you how many people in the prison, and none of the inmates, by the way, but just some of the people who were in the ministry there. You look so small to play in the NFL. I want to say, you look too dumb to be a parent. I mean, I didn't say that. You know, I'm a pastor. I wouldn't say that. But I was thinking it. I was like, you know, maybe I look too small. How many people you know? You know, you look too dumb to be an accountant. What does that mean? Because we have this image in our mind. And you might say, well, that's a realistic thing because football players are big. No. I'm very average size. People just don't know what they look like. You would never know. I'm very average even to this day. I still weigh the same as I did 20 years ago, and I'm still average to this day. But you just don't know. And a lot of times we want to say what people are supposed to look like, what people are supposed to sound like. And God says, no, I've chosen the foolish to confound the wise. Be that fool for somebody. But anyway, here's my favorite part. Look at this right here. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came out, and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. K-I-L-T. You might say, what's the big deal about that? Everyone say used to. Say used to. David said to the king, when I used to keep sheep. When was he keeping sheep? That day. You remember? I'll be right back. He goes, he hears a giant. He's like, I can whoop him. He says, the king wants to see you. He goes, the king wants to see me? I wasn't there. Let me brush off the sheep fuzz so I can go meet the king. King, back in the day when I was a shepherd, are you understanding what I'm telling you? He, at that time, said, I am no longer a shepherd. I am now a giant killer. My old is gone. My new has come. You want to defeat the giants in your life? You need to grow up. What does that mean? Is that some of the old things you used to trust in, the old ways you used to talk, the old people you used to hang out with? If you're a Christian, some of that stuff needs to go. Stop trying to do both. I'm a Christian on Sunday. I'm not on Wednesday. Walk away and become a giant killer. Say, I used to do that. I used to wear that. I used to react like that. I used to do that. Not anymore. I know growing as a Christian takes time, but it takes as much time as you want it to let it take. I stopped doing cocaine, marijuana, cursing all in one day. April 12, 1984, got back with my girlfriend that same day. We married 21 years, all in the same day. Now, it wasn't because, and I'm not perfect in all ways and don't do that all the time, but that day I did. I said, you know what, I don't have to do this stuff anymore. It wasn't like, well, you know, let me take 5 years to get through it. There's other things that maybe take me 5 years to get through. But sometimes you can just say, you know what, enough is enough. When I was at that prison, it was the saddest thing. The first two presentations we made were up on the roof of the prison where the women go and have their recreation. It was like a half of a basketball court area caged in. And these women came in all in their jumpsuits. They all sat on the ground. Sad. And the whole program was about an hour. And continuous through that whole hour, as I looked along at the women, there was always somebody crying. When I say somebody, two or three. And at the end, when they sung this one song, they were all crying. But there was a guy who was singing and they were having fun and stuff. And every, you know, while they're having fun, there's always a couple women like this, just crying. And I was like, man, what happened to them? What did they do? Why'd they do it? Were they abused, molested, neglected? What brought them to this point? We know it was the devil. And they're sitting there, what are they thinking? What did I do if I could do it again? And I talked to about 10 women who were getting out like within the next couple of months. A couple were getting out the next day. And they all said, I'm not coming back. And I grabbed them and said, don't come back here. You don't have to come back here. And this woman, when I told her, I said, look, I don't know why God led me to tell her this, but she was 40 years old. I said, not only do you not come back here, but never, never attach yourself to a man that doesn't treat you like a queen. Now, she might not understand what a queen being treated like a queen means because she may have never had it. And she was crying as I could see that it was like what God wanted me to tell her, because she just started welling up inside, like, I know what you're saying. Don't do it. If he is not going to take you to church and read the Bible with you, don't do it. It ain't worth it. Sometimes you have to say, enough is enough. If you're going to beat that giant in your life, that's the only way you're going to do it. You can't do it on your own. That's why we, matter of fact, I spoke two times to the women and five times to the men. I said, you can't do it your way. Doing it your way got you here. So you know that ain't going to work. So now it's time to do something different. David said, I am now a giant killer. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what do you want me to be? How do you want me to fight? How do you want me to live? No more doing it my way anymore. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There's a way that makes sense to me, but it is wrong a lot of the times. What it makes sense to God. Everyone say, it ain't about me. One more time, say, it ain't about me. Number three in your notes. It says, giant killers give God all the credit. God with a capital G. If you can correct that, please, I appreciate it. God with a capital G. Giant killers give God all the credit. This is another great part of this story. Not my favorite, but a great. Verse 36. Verse 35. I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord. Everyone say Lord. Lord. Say Lord. Lord. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the poor to bear. He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said, go and the Lord be with you, because I certainly will not be. David said, if a lion or bear came and took one of my sheep and put it in his mouth and started walking away, I grabbed the lion, opened his mouth, took the sheep out, started walking home. And if it came after me, I was like, what? Put the sheep down, pop, killed it and went home. You coming after me? Do you know who I am? I'm David. Get back, lion. Then he said, did your Bible say that? You probably read it. And the lion is this and thou is. No, this is real life stuff. David said, I wonder why I back up so much. I'm spitting all over the place. Trying not to get my Bible wet. David said, the Lord delivered me. And the Lord will deliver me. Do you have any idea how many times God hooked you up and saved your life? You have no idea how many times he's done that. You may remember 5, 10. You may remember 100. It's been a million. Last month. It's been a jillion. How many of y'all by a show of hands? He already knows it's you. Yes, I'm raise you. How many of y'all by a show of hands drove home drunk or high and have no idea how you got there? Yeah, yeah. How many of y'all by a show of hands did it more than once? Mm-hmm. God not only saved you, you kind of stupid, okay? We all did it more than once. Why? Because we're thick. We're thick. Driving home. Then we get out of the car. We get the key, and the door ain't locked because we forgot to lock it because we're thick. And then we walk in, and we fall in the bed and wake up in the same clothes we went to bed with. How'd you get home? How'd you get home? God got you home. God got you home. You don't even know what you did to this day. The whole time you after you got past point whatever, you can't remember. You might have did things that other people remember, you don't remember. God hasn't even protected you from knowing that. David said, God delivered me. God will deliver me. Let me keep reading real quick. Number four. Giant killers are led by the Spirit. Giant killers are led by the Spirit. You want to kill your giants? Do what God says, not what man says. Look what it says in verse 38. Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook or 5 rocks. The rock, church, and put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch with which he had, and he slung and a sling in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Oh, it's on like hot butter popcorn now. Saul took David and said, here, put this helmet on. Clank. Put this armor on. It's all heavy. Bring his shield and the sword. And David was clank. I can't walk with this stuff. I can't see. It's over my head. And David said, I got to take all this stuff off. I don't need any of this stuff. Get my sling. Get my rocks. This one be good. This one, 5 rocks. That's all I need. Let's go. What? David, look at all that steel that guy got around his body. He got a guy carrying his shield. And all you got, 5, you don't have a shield, you don't have a helmet, you got 5 rocks, that's it. Oh, but I got God. This is where people lose it. We always want to have a security blanket. Ain't nothing wrong with having your 401k. Ain't going to save you from hell. Ain't nothing wrong with having retirement. Ain't nothing wrong with having an alarm in your house. I got an alarm in my house. But you better have God, because that alarm can malfunction. Matter of fact, I had a guy in my house the other day showing me how you can break in my house. He was from the Secret Service. Just a friend of a friend. Actually a friend. And he's like, we'll do this, we got to fix this, we got to fix this, we got to fix this, you got to get this, you got to get a little Uzi, we can put it up on your roof here, you get a little electric wire over here, and put that alligator thing, we'll hook you up. Oh, you can have all that stuff, but you better have God. David said, I don't need all that stuff. Just give me my rocks. I'm going to go for what I know. And by the way, David is putting his life on the line because if David loses, he dies. God, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking to show himself strong on someone's behalf who will be loyal. In other words, God says, if I could find one person who will lay everything on the line, all chips on God, I'll prove myself strong on that behalf. What we do is I'll put a few chips on God, but these are just for myself, just in case God don't come through. God says, no, I want you to get in. I want you to put your whole body online, on the line. I want you to surrender everything to me. David did that. And then he drew near to the Philistine. Now, what I'm getting ready to read to you is my opinion, the origination of trash talking. In your Bible, write down, number five, write down, giant killers fight in God's name for God's glory. Say glory. Say with some soul, glory. Need some hot sauce on that one. Verse 43, the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Is that trash talking? That's a little bit. He was getting warmed up, but look what David said. David said, what? That may not be in your Bible, but I just threw that out. You come to me with a sword and a spear? And with a javelin, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, take your head from you, and this day I will give the bodies of the whole army of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. Now, he's glad. Boy, you come here with a stick, I'm going to chop you up. What? Boy, I'm going to kill you and your mama and your whole army today. And all I got is five rocks. Why am I going to do it? So God can get the glory? Because I don't want you punking my God no more. You know, the Da Vinci Code thing is coming out next in 12 days. We're going to start the Da Vinci Code series next week to talk about all the things in the Da Vinci Code book and movie that are wrong pertaining to the Bible. Why? So when people say to you, there's 80 gospels, and Constantine picked these four because he had an agenda, you'll be able to tell them that's wrong, and here's why. Because it's wrong. It's not true. It's completely wrong. So people don't punk God and punk the Bible. You need to know. As a matter of fact, the whole reason I'm doing this message is to fire you up to go fight that battle. Because we're going to start next week doing this, and we hope you go to the movie, take non-Christians to the movie, and then when you come out of the movie, explain to them what they saw wasn't true, because it's going to be hard to decide between the fact and fiction. Have a Da Vinci Code party at your house. Dress up like the Mona Lisa. Please don't do that. Matter of fact, our small groups, we're encouraging all our small groups, we have a whole curriculum for them to answer all the issues. And we encourage all the small groups to go through this. And if you're not in a small group, what a great time to get in a small group. You can go online and register. I think you can ask in a bookstore. But to get in a small group, call the office and get in a small group. Get to know some people. And we're going to go through all these issues pertaining to the Bible and the Da Vinci Code. It's going to be a five-week a sermon series. And we're going to have a quiz at the end. We're going to talk about it to equip you to talk about it. Why? Because when people start talking trash against God, you go, wait. That's not true. You know what's amazing? I got to take 2 seconds on this. People talking about Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Well, then go dig his body up. So anyway, here's David saying, listen, I'm going to cut your head off and your whole army. And all David had was five rocks. What is he saying? And he's got a whole army of scared Jews behind him. So who is he going to do this with? Someone answer that question. Jesus. He's like, it's me and God. Me and God are majority. Me and God constitute a majority. I don't care how many you got on your side. Number six, giant killers are eager to obey God. This is my favorite part of this story. It really is. I love it. Look what it says in verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near David to meet him, that David ran to meet the Philistine. Oh, everyone say ran. David wasn't like, okay, okay. David was like, what, boy? I don't know if y'all saw the Evander Holyfield Mike Tyson fight about 7-8 years ago. They were in the corner. Anybody, say amen if you saw that fight. They were in the corner right before the bell rang like this. Let's go. I can't wait. I can't wait. And as soon as the bell rang, they ran to fight. Some of y'all are like, well, God tells you to do something. Like, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll read my Bible next week. I might as well read in church. So I'll just wait till Sunday. God says, no, do it now. Do it now. Go do it now. Go get a tape of the sermon now. Go study lesson plan today. Don't wait. David's like, I can't wait to jack you up. I'm tired of you talking trash. And he ran at Goliath. Now, I wasn't there. Jews on this hill, Philistines on this hill, David and Goliath in the valley. David goes running at him. I'm going to cut your head off, you punk. Talk about my God for two hands and go, I believe it was slow motion. That's just my opinion. But the reason being, because you know all those people on the hill see this little kid go out there with no armor thinking he's done. What is he thinking? And all of a sudden, he better not miss. Look what it says. Verse 49. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and slunged it. It struck the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but he had no sword. So therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head. Any questions? That's what he said. Any questions? He is dead. Little kid, what's your Goliath today? Go get it. God says, I want you to go get it, and I want you to lay it on the line. You give all yourself to me, I'll bless you immensely. If you half step, you're on your own. I want full commitment. When I was in the prison, I was telling these inmates, there was a guy who walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and he said to the crowd, I'm going to now walk back and put a wheelbarrow on top of the tightrope and fill it with dirt. Do y'all believe I can do it? Oh, we believe. Okay, got some tightrope, starts walking, looks down. This little boy says, do you believe I can walk across this tightrope and not drop any dirt? I believe. He dumps dirt out, say, get in and go with me. You believe in God? Get in the wheelbarrow. You don't believe in God? Don't get in the wheelbarrow. If you believe in God, you're in the wheelbarrow. If you're not in the wheelbarrow, you do not believe in God. That's God's perspective, which is really the only perspective we need to be concerned with. David says, I believe. I'm putting everything on the line. I ain't got no insurance package. I don't have a helmet. I don't have a shield. I don't have a sword. All I know is these rocks. David killed Goliath with one rock. We are the rock church. There's a lot of rock stories in the Bible, by the way. One of the reasons we chose the rock. One of them is this one. Because when God looks at San Diego and says, you know, I got Goliath walking around San Diego and I need a rock. I wonder if I could put that rock in my sling. Oh, no, God, you know, we don't do anything for you. We just have meetings. We just sing and come and listen to the pastor, and that's all we want to do. Oh, no. God, call on us. call on us and fling us around to kill Goliath. But it all starts with you. You have to ask yourself, what giant in my life do I need God to kill? Kill, destroy, so I can be victorious in God's name. Let's all bow for prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you have given us everything we need to be victorious. And Lord, we don't want to be ignorant to think that David wasn't nervous, that he wasn't excited, that he wasn't racing in his mind how he was going to kill this guy. But it's obvious he was consumed with the trust and faith that you were going to back him up. I pray that we would confront our Goliaths eagerly today. And that we would do it by faith, not based on what we see, what we hear, but what we believe in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say two things very briefly, because